Steve and Justin use Y-charts for their winning investment research. So start your free trial now. And if you purchase, mention InvestTalk and get a generous discount at YCharts.com.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for joining me today on Invest Talk. It is Friday, January 4th. Well, it's hard to believe, but we're already into the first week of January of the new year. And I welcome you to Invest Talk as I do every day. I'm Steve Peasley, and again, thank you for joining us. Our daily objective here is to make you a better investor. Get you to make better decisions to help you achieve that goal. Justin and I try to provide unbiased opinions and insights and try to give you the facts of what's going on. And it's not always the same thing as what you hear in the popular press. The facts are not always the same. And we also answer questions, your investment questions, and hopefully that clarifies what's for you, what you're doing, and why you're doing it. And along the way, we all learn more and more. The number, our InvestTalk Intertime listener line number is 888-99-CHART. We're live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. So you can call and get online with us. You can call that number anytime and ask questions anytime after hours. And just leave your voicemail with the question there and we'll get to it. Now, today, starting off, the market started off strong right from the get-go. And that was all 30 Dow stocks were up in the green. And now, I mean, we started off up 300 points. Now, it ended up being up 747 points, gaining back all what it gave back yesterday, right? Got it all back a little bit more. But until the market was up about 2% for the day, and the NASDAQ was up 275 points and the S&P up 84. Those are pretty big moves, down and up. So we have a lot of volatility. So what drove the market today? Well, do you remember the ADP report we talked about yesterday? That's the unemployment. That was the jobs report for private sector industry, and it was up pretty strong. Today, the official number came out from the Labor Department, and it was up 312,000 new jobs. 312,000 new jobs were created in December. That was almost twice the expectations. Almost twice. Twice. Two times. And, of course, blue-collar workers had the strongest gains and some of the strongest gains since the 1980s. Manufacturing jobs. That's kind of interesting. But at the same time, the unemployment rate went up, not down. Unemployment rate went up. It was 3.7% the month before, and that was 50-year low or so. And it went up 0.2%. Well, how is that possible when you had twice as many jobs created in December than you expected? Shouldn't the unemployment rate go down? It would if 1.6 million people didn't rejoin the labor pool. Remember all those past employees that for years people were saying they'll never come back into labor pool. They're gone. Jobs for those people, they're unskilled or have the wrong skills, are gone. Manufacturing jobs are gone. And now all those people are starting to look for jobs again. Now the government's starting to count them again. And that's why the unemployment rate went up. 1.6 million more people they counted. So, what's interesting is we have this dichotomy going on. We have a very strong jobs market. It looks really great. But you got a little problems brewing out there. And the ISM numbers looked weak. They're still showing that the numbers above 50 is showing growth, and it's still above 50, but it fell pretty hard from where it was. And of course, we talked about Apple and China, Apple sales, and they were decelerating in China. And I mentioned yesterday, it's not Apple, it's China. It's not Apple, it's what's going on in China. China is weakening. Their growth is slowing down pretty fast. They're still growing, but slowing down pretty fast. And remember, China's got a big problem. They got that huge population. They need to produce 20 million new jobs a year to maintain parity. Parity. And parity means how much money they're making per person versus how much money we're making per person. Now, we make a lot more. Matter of fact, the numbers are $9,000 for the average for GDP per capita for in China, $9,000, compared to the United States GDP per capita at $63,000. So they're way behind us on per capita income, and they need to continue to try to close that gap. They need that 20 million new jobs a year to do that. And that's why we will probably win this tariff war with China, because they need it. They need the trade way worse than we do, because it's 25%+ of their economy, and our foreign trade is about 12% of our economy. So need it. That's much more important to them. Remember, our trade surplus, the trade surplus China has with us. How do you think they're paying for all the infrastructure and all the things that they're doing? They're doing it with our money. I'm not saying we need to go into a war or anything. I'm just saying we need to have some fairer trade. We want them to do well, but we want us to do well too. It's as simple as that. So the Fed increased interest rates this year? Do you think they will? I have suggested that they may not. A matter of fact, it's a 50-50 chance, according to most experts, that the Fed will cut interest rates this year. Not just not increase them, but cut. I don't think they're going to cut. I just don't think that they're going to increase them. They may bump them one more time, and then they may reduce it one more time. Would that be a cut? I wouldn't say that. It has to be cut from the level it is today to be a cut. So this is going to be an interesting year. So gas prices increased overnight because the oil prices popped up. So that's after 85 days of a streak going lower and lower and lower for gas prices. The average is about $2.35 now. Interesting stuff going on. And I just want to let you know that I'm going to be in San Jose on January 23rd. If you want to meet, space is limited, but you know, you can register early. I can meet. You know, I put these things on. I meet one-on-one with individual people, talk about the portfolio, talk about our programs. And just go to investtalk.com. Just send me an email. So there's always lots to talk about, everybody. What is on your mind? Give me a call. 888-99-CHART. Let's go to Danish in Kansas. How are you doing, Danish?
Doing good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thank you for the call.
Hey, I have a question. After Jerome Powell's comments about interest rates this morning, what sectors do you think will be most affected by it?
Well, let's make sure I heard the same thing you heard. I heard that he said that they have nothing set in stone about what the rates will do going forward. That they don't,
right.
They don't really. Is that kind of the same thing you got from that? That they may raise them, they may riot, they may lower them. You know, they may do nothing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So what will work good?
My assumption is, I'm assuming they will stay where they are in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of is my assumption too. Is they probably won't go up. When the market believes that, Danish, we should have a rally in the market. When the market believes that the Fed has stopped raising rates, that should be a positive for the market itself. So now what will happen? What sectors will do well? Well, in a flat interest rate environment or a lowering interest rate environment, that reduced costs, and it'll be a broad-based rally. And I would think that, you know, the high-growth stocks won't necessarily benefit from that. They're not the ones who benefit the most. The ones who benefit the most are those people who borrow a lot of money, because their borrowing costs will no longer go up. So I'm thinking maybe certain kinds of REITs would do very well. Not necessarily, you know, housing REITs, but maybe hospital REITs and warehousing REITs and maybe even office building REITs, those kinds of things. I favor the hospital, the Medicare REITs, Medicare kind of REITs out there, medical care REITs. That would be my probably number one thing if interest rates don't go up. Denise, appreciate the call. Thank you. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. We're headed into a quick one-minute break, and I'm taking your questions now at 888-99-CHART.
It's a new year. Welcome to 2019. Steve and Justin are always grateful when you make Invest Talk a part of your daily routine. And their unbiased guidance can be an invaluable aid to your efforts at building a strong portfolio. So as you work and plan for a comfortable financial future, please keep listening to our live Invest Talk programs and be sure to tell your friends and family members about Invest Talk and the 24/7 availability of program podcasts at investtalk.com. The phone lines are open. Steve is here and he's ready for your questions. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I was wondering about Chevron. I'm already in. I just wanted to get my last half position on it because I got in roughly about 119 or so. And okay. It's actually dropped down to in the low 100s for a little while there. I was just wondering, do you think the oil prices have bottomed out?
I think it's very possible, but if we go into recession, Art, the answer is no, okay? But it's possible because they've fallen quite hard already. So I think they might just stay low for a while. And, you know, if you can handle holding on to Chevron with a 4% dividend without it doing much as far as growth, then this is a place you could buy it because it bounced off that bottom. You know, it went down to about 101, right? It's 110 now.
Right.
That's where it got. I think it might retest that, Art. It might retest that $100 area. I think the 100 is about, I think $100, 101, 102, I think that's as low it's going to go, but it might retest that low again. And that's where, if it bounced off again, that would be a double bottom. And on a stock pattern, a chart pattern, that is a very strong pattern. But you can also buy it right here, because it could be a V bottom, which is what it's done so far. I don't think it's going to go above 120, 125, but you know, you're trying to get a low price put on a position, a very strong stock that you could hold on forever if you wanted to. And it's growing solidly still in its sales, even with the oil prices going down. So I kind of like it, and I kind of like it here. Depends on how patient you want to be. You can buy it here and just live through it and put it in a drawer and forget about it, Art, and you'll be fine. But it may go down
all
and retest
right.
That 101.
Yeah, I just was thinking about waiting for another drop in the market before I pick them up. But we'll
there's
see what
nothing wrong with that thinking,
that
Art.
All right.
Nothing wrong
Thanks
with that
lot,
thinking,
Steve.
Art. Okay. Appreciate the call. That was CVX, Chevron Corporation, CVX Oil Company. I don't think I needed to remind you what kind of company it was, but Chevron. What are we going to talk about today? Well, I got to talk about I want to talk about the hedge fund industry before the end of the show. I want to talk about the jobs report, and I want to talk about New Year financial planning for you guys out there. What you need to do, what I think you should think about in the new year. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. I believe that every investor should determine their individual risk tolerance. Well, we have a program for that. We have something free. It's called it's called Riskalyze. You go to investtalk.com, take the Riskalyze questionnaire, just a few questions, and it gives you a score, and then that sends it to me, and then I show you or demonstrate to you what the score means and what we can do about it. 888-99-CHART is our number. Give me a call.
This is Invest Talk, and we're glad you're with us today for 1 hour of financial news and perspective. And your decision-making process can benefit from this practical and unbiased advice, especially if you consult with Steve or Justin. Step up now with your questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Our main talking point is concerns the ISM number, the Manufacturing Activity Survey. It's a survey of big companies and the people in those companies who buy raw materials to make things. And buying the raw materials, of course, is the first step in making things and selling them. So that's why what the ISM supposedly does, Institute Supply Management. And they said they had a big, it had its biggest drop in 2008. That kind of like, oh my goodness, it dropped. Well, see, that's kind of misleading. You want to be very careful of the headlines. And you know, this is a little lesson for everybody. Don't just read the headlines because they're misleading. They're just trying to grab your attention. That's all that's doing. It's not telling you the facts. So when you read the headlines in the first line or two of an article that you've seen, or you listen to the CNBC and you hear them blurting something out, that's to get your attention. But that's not necessarily the facts, or not all the facts. For instance, the ISM number, yeah, it went down to 54.1% from 59.3. That's 5 points. Anything above 50 means expansion of the economy. Anything below 50 means it's contracting. So it's at 54, down from 59. Yeah, but the headline says, bad omen for the economy. ISM survey posts its biggest drop since Lehman Crisis in 2008. See how they're playing on your fears there? They're talking about the Lehman Crisis. They mentioned that. They mentioned the bad omen for the economy because in 2008 we went to a huge recession. Okay, back up. It's not that bad. It's not good. I'm not trying to pretend. The direction is the wrong way. But look at that in the context of the jobs report this morning. Well, why would the jobs report be so strong if the Institute Supply Manager is so weak? See, so you gotta look at more than just one number. Neither one of them, the jobs report today and this ISM number, are leading economic indicators. A more durable one would be looking at the stock market itself. That is a leading economic indicator. So take a look and deeper look at this ISM number. What it shows you and what it's demonstrating is that the tariff war with China is starting to have an effect on our manufacturers. Now, we already know that China is having a lot worse problem than we are, but it's starting to have an effect. That you can take away from this report and say, okay, this is where the problem lies. Is it going to push us into recession? If the Federal Reserve is on the ball, which, you know, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, they will look at these kinds of numbers and look at the trade issues with China and probably not raise interest rates like they suggested they might. Now, today, Powell said they suggested that, we may not, we don't know. We're going to let the data tell us. Well, this data is telling you not to, but we'll see how well they listen because they're looking at other things too. Inflation in particular. Frankly, I don't see inflation being a problem, but you never know. Excuse me. Now, we get a wide variety of investing and finance questions on our anytime listener line number. 888-99-CHART is the same number. It's live and it is recorded, so you can call anytime you want. We're live right now. Let's hear from a caller.
Hey, Steve. My name is Alex calling from Oklahoma, and I was just wondering about the current state of the market and what strategies you can do to make money in the current market with all the volatility. Lately, I've been trading options on the SPY, and I was just curious as to how you thought options would work in this current market. Additionally, how to play the market with low capital, let's say under 1,000 or under even 500. Look forward to hearing your answer on the show. Thanks again. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, with that low of money, it's too difficult to try to make money in the market. I think you just need to gather more money. You need to invest in the market and just continue to invest till you get to a certain level. And that level's got to be in the thousands I mean, we're talking 20, 30,000 before you really can take advantage of the various strategy. Now, we did pretty darn well in our Equity Income Plus program, which is a covered call strategy where you own the underlying stocks and you sell covered calls on it. That covered call that you do every month, you make a little bit, you make premium on it, make premium on it, while you're holding on to the underlying stocks, and hopefully they go up too. And in a market that goes sideways, that's a good way to get some absolute return. You know, you want money, you want to earn some money. And if the market goes sideways, stocks don't do anything, well, a covered call strategy is a pretty good way to go. So, and we do it. We have a program, and it's called the Equity Income Plus, and actually that strategy did the best of our five strategies last year. So, well, not the stable income. That one did pretty good too. But you know, our stock programs got hurt just like everybody else, and yeah, so don't think they didn't. We did. Monday on Invest Talk. Are markets overestimating the risk of recession in the U.S.? Overestimating. Many experts have scaled down 2019 growth estimates to about 2%, but they still consider growth, not recession, in 2019. So that's going to be the story on Monday. I'm Steve Peasley. I'm ready to take your questions at 888-99-CHART.
The time is now. And if you act now, the benefit to your financial future could be measurably significant. This is your chance to sharpen your investing skills through a valuable online classroom learning opportunity, InvestTalk Academy. Enrollment in InvestTalk Academy will introduce you to a weekly series of live investing classes conducted by KPP Financial Principals and InvestTalk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein. You'll profit from a critical degree of focused mentoring led by Steve and Justin. Hear their full analysis of the market. Follow along with charts and data points. Understand technical and fundamental analysis. Develop the mindset to become a successful investor. InvestTalk Academy offers an unprecedented value for serious investors. Register now at InvestTalkAcademy.com. Have you visited InvestTalkAcademy.com? You should. It can help you learn to invest like a pro because it features online classes that can teach you how to grow your investments independently. And you can learn more at InvestTalkAcademy.com. Have you got a question for Steve? He's here, and the lines are open. 888-99-CHART.
Okay, the KPP Premium Newsletter always goes out every Friday to subscribers, and I do it in the early morning. You know, usually I get most of it done just around when the market opens. I'm finished with it. And, you know, hopefully it's packed with, I think it's packed full of information, you know, that is helpful to you and gives you a good idea of what's going on in the, not only the U.S. economy, what's going on in the bigger picture. And, you know, I started out today with the new year started with the more volatility, okay? And I said I was convinced that we're going to see that for 2019, just more volatility. I don't think it's going to stop. And I think we're going to all get used to it. It's just that simple. And traders, you guys out there are traders, you actually should like the excess volatility because it gives you, you know, with the swings in prices, think about yesterday and today. I mean, we're talking, what, a 1,300-point swing, 600 down, 700 up? That's an opportunity to make money if you're a trader. But I also mentioned that most traders lose money, so yeah, bear that in mind. Anyways, so everybody's asking, I mentioned a new layer, what direction is the market going to go? And I'm telling you that most of the major exchanges around the world are in bear markets already. And we are close to a bear market. Mentioned Asia, Germany, Europe, you know, all these places have problems. And we're the strongest looking market, major market out there among them. We're the strongest looking. Look how weak we are. So we're just not nearly as weak as they are. So something has to happen to change that scenario. What is that something? I even mentioned the possibility of what the something would be, and that would be a deal with China. a trade deal with China. That could be a catalyst. In the portfolio management section, I talk about the Fed's funds rates, you know, and the attractiveness of owning bonds. You know, if the Fed does not raise rates in this year, like I suspect, even though, remember, they have said they were going to raise it two times. Today, Powell said they may not. But let's say the Fed doesn't. That's going to make bonds themselves are going to look attractive because they won't go down in value. And we have been able to buy bonds below par in 2018. What happens when the interest rates start to flatten or actually go down? Those bonds are going to go right up to par. And it's going to look like we're making a lot more money. But the yield to maturity is really what you got to focus on. Anyways, that was under that section. You know, it's always hard. And the consumer, I gave a couple of stock ideas that I thought were pretty good. Maybe not for right now, but to add to your stock list, your watch list. Consumer watch, I talk about, I often talk about scams. This time I mentioned unsavory brokers, advisors, and salesmen in the financial industry, the industry I'm in. And make sure that I stress to make sure you have SIPC insured or SIPC insured or FDIC insured institutions that you use. And remember, FDIC is for banks. SIPC is for your trading accounts, your investment accounts. Okay, and there's always a lot of valuable information every week. I work hard to make sure that there's information that you can use. It's a KPP premium newsletter. You can subscribe. It's like, I think it's, what's the price of that these days? I think it's $20 a month. You can get subscribed going directly to investtalk.com. Remember, it comes out every week, every Friday. Take a look. Go to investtalk.com. Check out the details. Okay? Let's go ahead and go to Chris in Walnut Creek. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I actually have a question about ETFs. I'm looking at this ticker symbol, X as in X-ray, L as in Louis, and V as in Victor. It's like healthcare ETF, I think. What do you think about that?
I like the area. This is a XLF is the healthcare ETF, a healthcare exchange traded fund seeking the performance corresponding to the S&P Healthcare Select Index. Okay, so it's in the healthcare industry, and you know, I would look at the top holdings in there to see what kind of healthcare is it. Is it hospitals? Is it assisted living facilities? What kind of healthcare is it? Or is it insurance? So you really want to know what's in that healthcare select index before you buy it. But I do like the area of healthcare simply because the baby boomers are getting older and they're going to need more and more healthcare. I don't see how that's going to slow down. I think the fundamentals, the basic fundamentals for the healthcare industry are strong. Okay, and therefore, I think that's quite attractive. This ETF fell right down to like $79 a share back in February, April, and in May. And then it shot up to 94. And then in October, you know how October was. It fell for all of October, bottomed in October, then went all the way back, retested the highs of 95 in early December. Then it fell like a rock in December. And now it looks like it's a possible buy. Chris, so I kind of like it where it is right now. Kind of like it. XLF. Appreciate the call. Thank you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. This morning, in one of the major papers, the financial papers, I was reading this article. AQR founder rejects insane criticism of quant funds. And what it was is he was whining about the hedge funds called quant funds that use computerized trading. Okay, we all know what that is, right? And that they're being blamed for all this volatility, and he's saying that's ridiculous. But I didn't care about him and what he thought. I took away from this article something else I wanted to share with you. And you know what? You need to learn critical reading of these things. critical reading is you know, of anything is important. Try to delve into all the facts. Try not to get caught up into name calling and who did what to who and all that stuff. Go for the facts. And these are the facts that I took away. Now, this is a hedge fund. This guy, Clifford Arnest, it runs one of the largest hedge funds. And it, you know, it's about, well, I think it was $200 million. One of its hedge funds is a long short equity fund. Okay. So now if you're thinking long and short, meaning that you're buying stocks long and you're selling stocks short. Now, those two offset each other. Right? So in a bear market, the shorts will go up and where the longs go down and vice versa. What struck me is how much money they lost. Down this long short fund that he runs lost 16.3% this year. This whole industry, this quant industry is about $1 trillion with a T. So it's huge. Huge. So are they going to, do they push stock market? They certainly can. They are big enough to be to push stock prices up and down. They are. But I wanted to, I take away from this, everybody thinks hedge funds are going to can make you lots of money and you get rich. You can also lose all your money. Matter of fact, the hedge funds, if you read this article, you'll find a couple of the hedge funds went under. But notice how you don't really hear about those. They quietly go under, or they quietly get folded into another hedge fund. And they only keep out there the hedge funds that are still running. All the other ones disappear. So you don't really get a good sense of how much money they're actually losing. Because once they're out of business or gone, no one reports on them anymore. They're just gone. And now what's left are the better hedge funds, and those get reported on. Hedge funds are very risky people. You do not need to participate in that part of the market. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we stream and broadcast Invest Talk live in the 4 o'clock hour Pacific time, 4 to 5. Weekdays, Monday through Friday. And, of course, it is always available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week via our archived podcast at investtalk.com. So I hope you will take advantage of that and also spread the word. Tell your friends, family, everybody you know. I want everybody to listen. And please, please, you can always download those podcasts anytime you want. Listen to anytime. You don't have to be tied to the computer. Take it with you on your phone. You can listen to it while you're working on the farm in the back. The lines are now open. We're taking your financial investing questions live. 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk, and Steve Peasley is returning to San Jose to meet with InvestTalk listeners that understand the value of receiving a free portfolio review from Steve. Mark your calendar, Wednesday, January 23rd. If you live anywhere in Northern California, you should reserve your space for a no-cost portfolio review consultation. Steve will analyze your portfolio's strengths and weaknesses so that you can start 2019 with a much better chance of building a comfortable financial future. Register now at investtalk.com. Okay. You've got finance and investment questions. Steve is here, and you can get his unbiased answers. Call now, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, good afternoon, Justin and Steve. This is Andy calling from Salt Lake City. The question I have today is about Celgene, ticker symbol CELG. I got into this about $90 a share about a year ago, and it dropped quite a bit. And today they came out with news that they're going to be acquired by Bristol Myers Squibb, and the stock jumped up about 20%. If I sold today, I'd still be down. I just want to hear your thoughts on if I should hold out and wait and see what happens, or just cut my losses with this jump up and sell it. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Well, you would sell it. Okay, that's the quick answer. Let me explain why. When one company A buys company B, and I explained this before. Okay, they make an offer. So Celgene is being made. Bristol Myers Squibb made an offer 20% higher than the stock price is selling at. And remember, it was selling at what, $60, $70, $65, $67 a share. Now it's at $84.90. And so they made an offer to buy the whole company. Okay, so what's going to happen? What can happen? What? There's three things can happen. The deal can go through. The deal could fall. Or the deal, the deal could go through. The deal could collapse. Okay, or they can get a higher price for the stock, for higher price. They might negotiate. Those are the three things that could happen. Okay, so most likely, it is either going to fall through, or go or be successful. That's the two most common, almost all the time when company A offers to company B. The deal goes through or it doesn't. It collapses. If it collapses, you're going to go right back down to your price that it was. If it goes through, you're going to get about $90 a share from $84 a share, because it always goes up to a little bit below what the deal was. So why would you take that chance? And it could take a long time for the deal to even go through. So now you're sitting on dead money this whole time. So I wouldn't take the chance. I never take the chance you're going to get less than what you bought it for. Well, that's how it happens sometimes. But I would take the deal and go reapply the money to something else. That's what I would do. That's the smartest thing to do. I've seen too many deals go fall apart. There's a lot of them that fall apart. Most of them go through. But the rare one gets, the negotiation, they get a bidding war, maybe someone else comes along and makes a better offer. That's pretty rare. So you go with your odds. You take the money and you run. Celgene, CELG, is being bought by Bristol Myers Squibb. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So we had 312,000 new jobs put out today. 312,000. That's twice the expected number. And so that means the jobs market is still very strong. Even though the unemployment rate went up to 3.9% from 3.7, that was because 1.6 million more people entered the job market that weren't there before. The way the government counts, they don't. You think that the government counts unemployed people? Well, you're wrong. They don't count unemployed people. That's not how it's computed. They count people that are unemployed that are looking for a job. But if they stop looking for a job, they don't count them anymore. So, 1.6 more people started looking for a job, therefore added to the pool. Therefore, the unemployment rate went up, even though they produced 312,000 new jobs, twice as many as one. But what also was interesting, they added over 100,000 to the previous 2 months. 100,000 more jobs. Don't you find that pretty striking? I do. Okay, at the same time, we see, a couple of economic numbers weakening. Is that telling us? We're getting a confusing little picture here. How about the leading economic indicator that came out this week was unemployment claims? That's those people, applying for unemployment benefits. And that went up this week a little bit more than expected. But I don't find anything odd about that, since those people that had holiday jobs, don't have them anymore. They were laid off, the part-time jobs. So we won't really get a clear picture of that yet. This is Invest Talk, and I'm Steve Peasley. Our program is winding down, but we still have about 10 minutes. And remember, please, our Intertime listener line number is always open around the clock. It's open right now. You can call right now and get live. 888-99-CHART.
On the next Invest Talk, many experts have scaled down 2019 growth estimates to 2%, but this cannot be considered recessionary, so are markets overestimating the risk of recession in the U.S.? That story Monday. But now, Steve is here, ready with answers, and he's waiting for your calls. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Mark in Newark, California. How you doing, Mark?
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was wondering what your thoughts about Caterpillar, C-A-T. Is that thing going to go anywhere, let's say, in the 140 range in the next 6 months or so?
I think it has the possibility there. I think it's going to struggle, though, for a while. And why? Caterpillar, everybody. It's, of course, it's, you know, it's a $76 billion company. It's a great company. Manufactures construction and mining equipment, diesel and natural gas engines, turbines, and locomotives. And therein lies the problem, Mark. It's very cyclical, meaning in an economic cycle, a late economic cycle usually means Caterpillar suffers. In the middle of an economic cycle, it takes off, which it did. Okay? I'm thinking that you're late in the economic cycle, even though it's a good price for it. I mean, you know, the P is only 11, and going forward, that P is only going to get lower if it stayed the same. Its sales will fall off like a stone during a recession. But are we going into recession anytime soon? Well, we have China who's suffering. We have the EU who's suffering. Those guys looks like are heading to recessions to me. So I think Caterpillar is just not the right time to buy it. I would feel much more comfortable if you would buy Caterpillar in the middle of a recession. And if you have to wait 2 years before that happens, wait 2 years. Don't be in a rush.
Okay.
That would be
okay,
my suggestion.
You. Okay,
thank you for the call. Caterpillar, C-A-T is the symbol. Let's go to Nicholas in San Diego. How you doing, Nicholas?
Oh, very well. Thank you so much, Steve. Really, really love your show. And I have a question about KHC, Kraft Heinz. Wonder if it's a good time to buy
it. Okay, it also is very, very cyclical and got beat up. It may be at the bottom of the cycle, economic cycle. Are we at that bottom of the cycle? I think we're not. I don't think we are, even though it's also, like Caterpillar, very inexpensive. But their sales, instead of going up, are actually going to go down. Take that back. It's going to go up about 2% next year, not down. So that means that they're going to make about $3.73. It's a $44 stock. That means the P.E. is 11, 12 P.E.? That's pretty low. That's their five-year low of their range. But they don't have a lot of growth. If you buy this, Nicholas, for the dividend, which is 5.6%, their cash flow is very high. They can afford that dividend. And I don't think they're ever going to cut that dividend. So if you want to buy Heinz Kraft here, and you can just hold it through the recession and collect your 5.6%, it will be higher price. This stock will be higher price in a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. Meanwhile, you get 5.6% a year. Okay? Appreciate the call. KHC. But you might have to live through the recession to get that higher price. That's the problem. And it could be very, very difficult. You know, to hold it. Most people have trouble holding stocks through recessions because they think they're going to keep going down forever, and they don't. Anyway, the Dow was up 747 points today. The Nasdaq was up 275, and the S&P up 84. We had a pretty strong market today after having a pretty weak market yesterday. So that's what we're dealing with, volatility. Now, for the new year, for your financial planning for the new year, I want you to do several things. I want you to look at what you did in 2018. Not just what your investments did, but what did you do with your money? What did you spend it on? Where's your money going? Then I want you to take a hard look at all those automatic paying things. What are those auto pays, their daily buy at Starbucks, or whatever you're spending your money on that you really could probably do something different about. Once you've took a hard look at what you did in the past, what you're spending your money on specifically, I want you to change that path. I want you to change your thinking. Stop. Because you need to set some financial goals, and you need to find the earnings, the money, to put aside to meet those goals. Unbind yourself from your past. If you have bad habits, try to get rid of them. Try to understand them and try to go in a different direction. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. And I thank you for your loyal support. And I'll call you all your questions. I really appreciate that. I want you to have a great weekend, everybody. Justin will be here on Monday. And then I'll be back on Tuesday. So have a great weekend. Good night, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.